Today on Real Radio.
You want a God that can take care of your issues and problems in life? You want to know a God who can answer your dilemmas? Then how about entertaining the God who came down? Who put on skin just like yours and said, you know what? I see now how they get thirsty.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series he calls the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In developing our biblical worldview and the church, what comes to mind? Can true Christians who obey Scripture have an effect on today's culture? From its inception and throughout history, the church has been an unrelenting force in society. And Pastor Jack urges Christians to keep gathering together, for where there is fellowship, Jesus Christ is in their midst. In today's lesson, Pastor Jack encourages us by reaffirming that Christ still loves his church. The same Jesus of the Bible is the same Jesus who provides, guides, and instructs us towards maturity in Christ today. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Right now, more than ever, we want to address the issues that are consuming our young Christian people on their college and high school campuses, because quite frankly, most of them, that is the Christians, are getting eaten alive. And we are committed to seeing that change. Acts chapter 17, this time I'm going to ask you to look in our world or our biblical worldview series and the church, that's the title for these next few weeks. Acts 17, look at it, picking it up at verse 22. Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Remember, that means spiritually minded. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." Remember that tonight. You ought to underline that. That's key regarding our worldview series topic, the church. "He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Now look at verse 28. I want you to look carefully at verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being." Here it goes. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising," men's technologies. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Mark that down. That's key to where we're going tonight. You can't get around it. He's calling all men, wherever they are, to repent. Why? Verse 31, "Because he has appointed a day on which he," that is God, "will judge the world in righteousness by the man," notice it's capital M, it's Christ, "whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him," that is the judge who is to come, "from the dead." Guess who that is? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Our biblical worldview tonight that we're looking at is the church. And as I said, we're going to be looking at this for the next couple of weeks. Why? Vitally important. Church, listen up in taking notes. Our first point tonight in our biblical worldview of looking at the church is very, very, I think, interesting. I hope you find it very relevant. Can I say something? I need everybody's attention right now. Whatever I say tonight, I will say with compassion and with love, even though there may be sarcasm in it, it's intended to cause you to think. Y'all hear that? It's important to me that you understand that. I am not going to be slamming anybody. I'm not going to be beating up anybody. But if somehow in the delivery of the Word of God tonight and this topic, it causes a little bit of a sting or a provocation in your heart, I want you to process it in light of logic and reason, okay? Especially those of you tonight who are 40 years of age and younger. Very, very important. So here we go. Number one tonight, mark it down if you would. Our biblical worldview and the church, it is this. Number one, what is the church? We want to start real basic, real plain, asking this question, what is the church? And before we go there, I want you to think on this for a moment. As Americans, and being children of Western civilization, which no doubt we all take for granted, we are, in fact, the offspring of what one has said of the Enlightenment. And you can study that later if you haven't in school. We are profoundly, as a culture, affected, molded, and shaped, if you like it or not, no matter what your upbringing might be, we are radically, tremendously affected, molded, and shaped by the Judeo-Christian worldview that has been the foundational footing of modern civilization, i.e. the Western culture. When I say Western, you know what I mean, right? Europe and America. And I don't know, but for the last 1,000 years or so, the Western culture has shaped much of the world's thinking. And you say, what does that have to do with the church? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight. Now listen carefully. Throughout history, from its inception, the church, certainly for over 2,000 years now, has been the unrelenting force in a culture to change that people group, wherever it goes, for the better. Look, no matter what your thought is tonight of the church, we're going to delve into that tonight, and we're going to go after that tonight. But history is bold and clear that wherever the church has gone in the world, in a true biblical discipline of obeying the scriptures, did you hear that? I'm not speaking about any particular church group. I'm not talking about the Baptists or the Catholics or the Assembly of God. I'm talking about real, true believers where they have gone into a culture. That culture has always been changed for the better. You say, well, it all depends on how you define better. Education, health, medicine, technology, freedom, liberty, rights. You want to talk about human rights? Let a spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christian take the reins, and you should see the most profound argument for human rights. Not a politicized, not a UN version Bill of Rights, but a biblically based Bill of Rights. There's no doubt about it that wherever the Judeo-Christian worldview has gone, freedoms have been brought to people. And I want you to be thinking about that. When we talk about the church, the first time, at least in the New King James Version Bible, the first time the word church appears in the Bible, I think it's most significant. In Matthew 16, 18, you know it well. Jesus said to Peter that on this rock I will build my church. On what rock? On the fact that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. Peter's not the rock. The rock was what Peter said. That's why Jesus said, flesh and blood's not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven told you that. And Jesus said, I will build my church. You know what? I know this sounds kind of corny, but if we were to start church all over again and rename the church, I would really like to have a church sign out front that says, my church. And maybe in really fine print at the bottom, love Jesus. You know, or Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Why? Because my church that's at Corinth, God would say it's my church at Rome. God would say it's my church at Chino Hills. It's my church in Los Angeles. Wouldn't that be great? I don't know. I think it's kind of cool, my church. Not your church and my church, but my church being Jesus' church. He has a message for his church. And he says the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So all of you tonight, I want you to pay very close attention. And the younger you are, the more you need to listen to this and the more you're going to be involved in tonight. When we talk about church, what are we speaking about? The word that the Bible uses for church is ecclesia. And the word simply means this. I say simply, it's a huge definition, but it simply means this. The gathering together. Okay? It's not this building. You guys got all that by now, right? It's not a building. And Paul just said it to the Athenians. God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. He's not interested in that. Okay? You are the church. Now watch this. The gathering together, the meeting up of those called out of and away from the world. That's interesting. A congregation engaged in a convocation. It's also used as a Jewish synagogue. That's pretty interesting because ecclesia has its Hebrew counterpart for called out ones. Or the Christian church community comprising of those trusting in Christ Jesus here on earth, or the gathering together of the saints either in heaven or on the earth or wherever Christ may be. I like that. The assembly of souls. I like that too. The church. In Romans 16, verse 5, the Bible says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. There can be churches in grand cathedrals. There can be churches in a house. I remember 20 years ago, this church was in a house. There were six of us. And we would greet one another, and that was biblical. And you came in tonight, and you greeted one another, and that's biblical. Well, how big is too big? We can't answer that. And no man on earth has the authority to answer that. How small is too small? Well, I would imagine, according to a synagogue, you had to have 10 believers to be a synagogue. Did you know that? To have a rabbi, you had to have 10 believers. That made a synagogue. You say, well, Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name. Well, you could argue that. That's not the application, but you could argue that. How about this? Wherever I go, no matter where I'm at, the Lord is with me. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, dwells in my heart. As a believer, I have access to the throne room of God by prayer. And, you know, this may be pushing the definition envelope a little bit, but I could go sit on a rock in the middle of the desert and have church with the Lord. But if somebody shows up, that's better. It's certainly more biblical. You say, well, how many people, what if 20 people showed up on your rock? Well, then praise the Lord. Well, what if too many people showed up on the rock that, and you couldn't fit them all? You get a bigger rock. Well, what happens? What happens if 2,000 people show up and they want to say, praise the Lord. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that we are to define the size of the church. The Holy Spirit, in 1 week after the book, in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, multiplied the church just in Jerusalem by 10,000 people. So listen, the thing is this. The church in the earth, be it a small congregation or a big congregation, it's God's business. And we'll talk about that tonight. It's very, very important. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, there's an interesting word that is that Hebrew counterpart word, kahal, of the Greek ekklesia regarding church. The Lord said to Moses, gather. Kahal, we could say church, the people to me. Isn't that neat? And I will let them hear my words, that they may, number one, learn to fear, that is, communicate reverence or to be in awe of God, that they may learn to fear me, be in awe of me all the days they live on the earth, and number two, that they may teach their children. Wow, that's the number one thing. If you have kids, if God gave you the ability to have kids, be it by natural birth, adoption, or whatever, custody, whatever it is, foster care, whatever it is, you are to be teaching your kids, those kids, the things of God. Very clear in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22 says, and he put all things under his feet, that's the feet of Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Oh, yeah? So what's that? Verse 23, which is his body. Circle the word body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. This is amazing. Obviously, Jesus Christ, having come into this world, has a physical body. And post-resurrection, that is Jesus coming out of the grave, has a glorified body. Jesus didn't rise from the dead a spiritual body. Jesus rose from the dead a physical body. But he's glorified, meaning that he can walk through walls. He did that in John's gospel. He can appear and disappear. He has a human, amazing, huh? Isn't it amazing that right now, it always kind of gives me goosebumps, man, is that seated right now at the right hand of God the Father is Jesus Christ in his glorified human body. You want a big God? You want a God that can take care of your issues and problems in life? You want to know a God who can answer your dilemmas? Then how about entertaining the God who came down? Who put on skin just like yours and said, you know what? I see now how they get thirsty. And I understand how they feel when someone maligns them. And I know what it's like to be beaten up or mistreated or have your beard plucked out of your face or have your back laid wide open. I know what it's like to be hated. Everything that you and I go through, is your God that big? The God of the Bible's that big. Do you claim that your God can do anything, but he can't do that? I feel sorry for you, and I do pity you. With love, I pity you. My God came down. My God walked among Adam and Eve. My God can do anything. He can die on a cross for our sins and be resurrected from the dead. That's how big my God is. It's awesome. The body of Christ, when we talk about the church, mark these things down. This is important. Listen, if you're 40 years of age and under, listen carefully. I'm going to come after you tonight. What do we know in a forensic type or scientific type of logic or reason? The body of Christ, the church, is comprised basically of two aspects. Number one, there is the universal, or we'll call worldwide, church. The universal church, the body of believers globally, the body of believers in China and Indonesia and India and Saudi Arabia. Yes, there is Christians in Saudi Arabia. It's just nobody knows who they are. They know each other, but they're not allowed to talk about it. They'll get killed under Sharia law. But the church is everywhere. And that church consists of all those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now watch. And I'm quoting 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. That's interesting. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit resides in your life, no matter where you are in the world, you are of the church universal. So to the believers in Russia, you tonight are of the church universal. But tonight, you sitting here right now among yourself, you are the church locally. That's the second aspect, is the church local. Not loco. Could be, but local with an L on the end. The local church is described in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle, he goes on to say, and all the brothers with me greet the church that is in Galatia. In the New Testament, there is a church or churches in the region of Galatia, for one thing. There's multiple churches. They're local, they're small or large, doesn't matter, but they're in an area. You think about where we live. And you know what? People are always poking fun. You know, I told you, or maybe I didn't tell you, but last weekend when Tony Perkins landed, he texted me as soon as he touched down in LAX, and he said, well, I'm here. We just landed in Sodom. And I understand where he's coming from. But that mostly applies to Northern California, doesn't it? Sodom and Gomorrah. We're Southern California. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I'm poking fun at Northern California, but I will say this. In Southern California, there are churches everywhere. And they're big ones. And some of them are world famous. Many of them are world famous. And you can point, as I said a week or two ago, you can point your car in any direction around here and bump into a Bible-teaching church. That's awesome. That's wonderful. What is that? That's the church local. And listen, everybody. God's into that. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, writes seven letters to seven churches. They were local churches. And we know a lot about those churches through archaeological discovery. Number one thing I want you to get in your heart and mind tonight, but it's going to go against some of the emotions of some of you tonight, is Jesus loves his church. Why do I say that? Because today, people in our age are just absolutely anti-church, but because, we covered this in our previous studies, they're spiritually minded people, they have a spirit mindedness. They don't like the church, they hate the church, they talk down the church, that is the church of God, but they claim to be Christians because they recognize Christianity's got the best message out there. And that is a big problem. You can't function like that. There is an issue. And we'll see tonight that it may very well reside in your own heart. Because God loves his church and he's got a plan for the church. Say, yeah, but I don't go to church anymore because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. God wants you there among all those hypocrites. I'm not joking. Do you understand something? It's a lot easier tonight if we would have just stayed home and bowed down before American Idol, or is that over? Is it still going on? Look at some of you are so sweet. You go, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I'm TiVoing it or I'm DVRing it. No, but you know what I mean? You didn't have to come here tonight. This is important. This is important because God loves his church, and the church is getting a black eye, and she's not being defended much. And I just want to talk about this. Now listen, simply put, the church is the body of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body, the Bible says. Jesus, according to the scripture, leads the church, guides the church. Listen, everyone. According to the Bible, Jesus leads the church. Listen, because you're going to come back to me and say, the church I came from, that was horrible and ridiculous. I'm not talking about your experience. Your experience may be 100% accurate and true to what you say. I'm not talking about that. Understand me tonight that when I say, just because something is called the church, it doesn't necessarily mean it's my church, Jesus would say. They may have gotten 501c3 license from the state of California from the federal government. That doesn't make it a church. Well, you know, they painted a cross on the front of the door. That doesn't make it a church. We're going to be looking at what makes things or gatherings or convocations a church. But he leads it, he guides it. Now you need to ask yourself, are you going to a church that Jesus is obviously leading? Is Jesus guiding? Is he providing? Is he instructing? Is Jesus teaching? That would be from the Word. Does Jesus teach you? Does the Spirit of God teach you from the Word? For this cause, for this reason, to develop you onward in maturity within the church, either locally or universally. Are you growing? Don't answer. Are you growing in your faith and your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 1. Thanks for listening to the message today. We hope that you'll keep yourself in the love of God through the continuing revival of your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.